Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to our Friday edition of Radio for Your Mind. And I tell you what, this show is going to be cram-packed without a doubt. I got so much stuff to cover. And because of that, I want you to know right up front that you do not want to miss Aces Radio Live this afternoon, 5 p.m. Central. We've got Julie Bowes on. This is a gal that has literally gone through what I think we all go through to a certain extent to grow a business. You find a leader, you find a company, you bust your butt, you know, you're passionate, you grow it nice, and then it comes time in your life that it's time to move on, and you find something new, or you become close friends with your sponsor, and he or she decides to move on. In Julie's case, her sponsor launched a brand new company, and when she went with him, she got sued by her old company, and she held strong. I call her the Annie Oakley of MLM, and she is going to be on this afternoon. Share her story, share her passion, and I tell you what, you do not want to miss that show. But today, right here on Radio for Your Mind, speak up. How can you create strong teams? John Maxwell wrote a book called The 360 Leader, where he talks about you may not be the manager, you may not be the top dog, you may not be the veto, but you can still build your team. You can still push your people up. You can push your boss up. And that's what we're talking about right now. This whole chapter is going to focus on you speaking up, you going to your manager, or maybe in some cases you are the manager. And you're going to focus on how you can get the people to understand. How can you focus to where you're sharing what your strengths are? Now, this is really weird when you think about it, because you don't talk about this in companies, you know. You talk about competition. You talk about production. You talk about what the end result is. Most people don't talk about their feelings. Marcus writes it this way. Up until now, you've been working on your strengths and weaknesses largely on your own. Now, in step five, you're going to do something that is somewhat tricky, and it's going to require a little bit of faith on your part. You're going to speak up and get help. Specifically, this is how he writes this, you're going to go to your manager and have a strong conversation with them. You're going to describe to this person what strengthens you and what weakens you, and you're going to have to do it in such a way, this is the tricky part, that he winds up thinking, not that you're trying to make life easy for yourself, but rather you are the responsible colleague looking for a way to contribute more, which is the ultimate key. Now, here's the dilemma. There's going to be people that read this book, and they're going to figure out ways to use it for manipulation, and they're going to go in and talk to their boss so that they can get an easier way of life. For you people that might hear this, and you're that kind of person, that can backfire on you, so I'd be real careful. See, the concept here is to reach an understanding, to reach a level with your manager to where they understand that you're going to stop tiptoeing around your weaknesses, that you're going to claim them. I didn't say own them. You do not own your weakness. You claim your weakness. You understand that it's there. You own your strengths. You claim your weakness. And you're going to go right up into it, and it's going to be head-to-head. Because here's what you're going to find. In a lot of cases, it's not your job that you hate. It's not your career that you hate. It's not even the place that you work that you hate. When you start digging into this, you're going to find out that it's your boss's strengths that you hate. Because a lot of times, the boss's strengths are your weaknesses. So what happens is they're sitting there telling you what they want done because that's the way they see it. And you're thinking to yourself, this is not going to work for me. This I hate this. I hate it with a passion. And little by little, because of the way we've been taught in this hierarchy type of corporate America, you become afraid to share. People look at it as bragging when you say, well, I have a strength, and this is where I want to focus. And they look at it as a pansy. You're a little panty waist if you start telling them you have a weakness, especially in men, especially in a generation where if you're not a millennial or you're somebody like myself or Jim that has kids and you focus on millennial generational trainings and stuff like that, you don't share your weakness. You don't talk about, you're a man, you're a stud. Let me tell you something. Everybody has a weakness. And if you get out of the weakness, you claim it, you put it in a box, you get rid of it, and you move towards your strengths, life is better. You're going to have several conversations that we're going to go over right now. Your first conversation is just going to be a chat. It's just a chat where you're going to share with your boss your strengths. Here's what Marcus writes. Start by having a chat, not a goal-setting session or a performance review or anything like that. Just a chat. It can be with your boss or someone close to you. You want to chat with them about what you've discovered about your strengths over the last 5 weeks. This person could be a family member, a friend, a work colleague, or even a rare instance, your boss. But no matter who this person is, her defining characteristics is that she cares about you and wants you to succeed. If you've got a personal mentor, you want to bring this up to them. Chat with them about it. More than likely, they've been working with you through this whole process anyway. Now, this is, you might want to write this down. Listen, during the chat, you are not trying to persuade them of anything to gain their approval or even ask for help. All you want to do is ask them to listen so that they can be your audience and try to help you find out the best way to describe your strengths. See, a lot of times, and Jim will tell you I'm this way, it's hard to talk about yourself. Whether it's third person or not, I had to write a third person review yesterday for my blog to put it up in a international contest to be listed as one of the top blogs in the world. And it's tough to do that because internally we're taught not to brag about ourselves. So when you're sitting here trying to talk about your strengths, it may not come natural. So you want people to help you with this. You want to work on this. You want to talk to this person, and you want to make sure that they understand that this is about your abilities, your skill set, your experience, your leadership style, your selling style, your all this kind of stuff, because this is work-related. And you want to share with them where your strengths lie. You're not talking about your weaknesses at this point, just your strengths. And when you use words like this that are business words and you don't get mushy, all of a sudden they relate. You put them at ease. You know, if you use the wrong language, it can freak them out. Now, there is a time as you're going into this conversation where you're going to start peppering the conversation, the chat, with phrases like, man, this really thrills me. I get stoked with this. You know, I can't wait to do this. At the same time, you're going to start in there about your weaknesses and say, you know, I just can't stand it when I have to do this. You know, I feel like I waste so much time when I do this. This freaking annoys me to no end, and it drains my energy. You're going to do that, but you want to focus heavy on those strength factors. See, when you do that, the sky's the limit. You will get them to understand where you're at. And you don't want to focus on all your strengths. You want to take your top two, top three maybe, and focus in on them. Now, you're going to have to practice this, and you're going to have to practice and practice. You may look in a mirror. You know, back when I was in the field and I actually was making cold calls, I would put a mirror in front of my desk. Todd Falcone taught me this. And I would look in that mirror the whole time I was talking as if I was talking to myself. I could catch myself smiling, not smiling, keep myself at ease. I could mirror the other person's tonality and their speed of conversation. You want to do that same thing. Now, here's how this conversation might start. Hey, look, I've been doing this program for the last few weeks, and the idea is that I need to get better control of my strengths and my weaknesses so that I can contribute more on the job. Could you chat with me for, let's say, a half hour and just listen as I describe what my three best strengths are? And with all due respect, please bear in mind that I'm not interested in whether you agree or disagree with me at this point, but rather in whether you understand what I'm describing. So the only thing that I'm asking you to do is to listen to me. Now, that's going to be tough right there, because although God gave us two ears and one mouth, most of the time people want to open their mouth up and give us advice all the time. Okay, and that's not what you're looking for. Okay, this is probably going to be better with a woman, because women are nurturers and they listen. If you've got a male boss, you really want to drive home, keep your freaking mouth shut and just listen to me. Okay, and you got to do it in a polite way and stuff like that. You know, that's the key. Because if you don't, it's going to freak out. Now, here's some stuff that you need to do. This is how this needs to flow. You need to be ready with this. Number one, take your 3x5 card so that you can read your first strength statement. Then you want to give them two vivid examples of how you use this strength in just the last week. You want to explain precisely how the strength helped you on your job. You want to do that with your two other strength statements. Remember, you only want your top three strengths. Then at the end of the conversation, you're just going to say thanks and ask them, did you understand what I was describing? That plain and simple shouldn't take more than 30 minutes. That's it. Now, the second conversation is based on how I can help you. See, this is where you're going to be talking to your manager. This is probably the first overall conversation you'll have with the manager. Here's what Marcus says. The best advice is to set up a how can I help you meeting. The point of this meeting is for you to describe to your boss just one of your strengths and how you can exploit this strength to advance a specific project or improve a certain performance outcome. Just one. Don't overwhelm them. Okay? One project, one strength, one performance. Everything's a one right now. And here's what you want. This is the outcome that you're looking for. Marcus writes it this way. What you want to do is collaborate with her, which means that you want to figure out how one of your strengths can help you and her get something done together. So pick one strength, pick one performance outcome that could be affected by this strength, and go into the meeting prepared to lay out precisely how your particular strength can drive a particular outcome. Plain and simple. That's what you're looking for. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Your boss could hate your guts. But because most bosses, their own income, their bonuses, their performance reviews are all based around the production, the outcome of an event, if you go to them with an idea how you can benefit them, I guarantee you they're going to listen to you. That's the way it works. Here's what you want to do before the meeting starts. One, call and schedule a time with your manager. It's a time when they're not going to be interrupted. Okay, make sure that it's a time when everyone's going to be together, everyone's going to be focused, everybody's thing, and that there won't be any outside influence. Second, let your manager know why you want to speak with her. Give them the background information and set it up. And here's an example. Hey Paige, I was wondering if I could schedule about a half an hour with you sometime in the next week. And as you might know, I've been going through this program and I've been learning a lot about how I can get my job done even more efficiently. And I'm really committed to supporting the team and I want to do it in the best way. And I really would love to share with you some of my ideas about how I can contribute more, and I've got a couple of specific things that I think will really help us to accomplish the project that we're looking at. You can put the project name in there. Okay, it's that plain and simple. You get into the meeting, you start the meeting out. Hey, Paige, thanks for taking time to meet with me today, and let me share with you, you know, what I've got going. I shared a little bit on setting up the meeting, what I wanted, but now I want to talk about how I can give a greater contribution to the team. And one of the things that I've been doing the last few weeks is identifying all the activities that just invigorate me, just get me stoked. And that's important because it all revolves around my job and trying to figure out how I can do more to help the team out in my current role. And the idea is that if I can increase an amount of time that I spend on certain activities that I know I'm passionate about, that I know make me the most productive, then I truly believe that as a team, we're going to be able to hit our goals because I'm going to be given 110, 150% in this. And then you stick to that number one strength that you're going to talk about, and you read your strength statement. You share with them how that strength works in the project that you're talking about, and you move it to the next level. The third conversation. And this is going to be a tough one here. See, managers love it when you talk about productivity. They hate it when you talk about non-productivity. So right now you're going to be going into the weakness chat. And you want to let a couple of weeks go by more than likely. Don't, you don't want to slam them and overwhelm them. You've been focusing. You know that you've claimed your weakness. You know you've put it in a box. But you have to have this talk, because remember early on at the beginning of this when I said a lot of times the boss's strengths is your weakness, and that's what's giving you that frustration. See, this may very well be more important than your strength conversation to you personally, to your overall best interest at the job. And you really need to focus on this. You might need to practice a little bit. What you want to do, and we've talked about this already, you have to claim that weakness. You do not want to go in there and spin the weakness into a positive. That doesn't work. Just claim it. You know what? I suck at this, and it just bothers the fire out of me, and we got to figure out a way to fix it, and I think I've done it to where I'll actually get more product. You'll get more productivity out of me, and we'll still be able to accomplish our goal. That plain and simple. See, you can say I'm bored with, I'm frustrated with, that shares a little bit. You can say I'm uncomfortable with. But it's a work environment. When you flat say, you know what, I'm the most unproductive when I'm doing this. I really feel like this hurts the team because I'm not doing my best. I'm not giving my all. I tried. It's not my strength. It sucks. Now listen. As soon as you do that, here's the natural response. Oh, it's not as hard as you think it is. Here, let me share with you what you can do. See, we all want to fix things. What you have to do is master the art of the comeback. You've got to be able to sit there and say, you know, those are great things. I understand that. But it doesn't work for me. You know, Marcus writes it this way. Thanks, but what I've noticed is that no matter how often I do it, it always seems to slow me down. What I really want to do is invest less time or spend less time on this so that I can invest more time in achieving more with my strengths to be able to become more productive on the team so that we can finish this project before the deadline and under budget. Boom. You have to master the comeback. If we were doing a sales training right now, I'd say you have to learn to overcome objections. It's the same principle here. It's not about them telling you what you can do, how you can fix it. See, that would make sense because that's one of their strengths. Oh, let me share with you what you can do about this. It's going to work perfect. Not. Doesn't work. This is a weakness. You've claimed it. You're putting it in a box. That plain and simple. Now, you want to go in there focused. You want to make sure you read your weakness statement. Again, you want to give two vivid examples of when this weakness has slowed you down. You want to do the same thing if you're sharing any other weakness. And then you want to thank them for the chat. You want to thank them for listening to you. It's that plain and simple. Now you're also going to have how you can help me. And this is a meeting that you're going to want to set up, and this is going to be a little deeper meeting. You're going to be calling your boss, your manager, and you're going to talk about how you want them to help you. Everybody wants to feel needed. It's a human needs that we have. It's just God-given. It's there. So you're going to explain that you need their help. You're going to also let them know, I mean, you're going to understand, you're not going to let them know, but you're going to understand that's probably going to be kind of odd because in the workplace, very few people go to their boss and say, I need help. Okay, it just doesn't work. And it might sound like this when you call them on the phone. Hey, Paige, I've done some more thinking since the last time we met, and I've had a couple of ideas about how I can use more of my strengths and get more done, and I could use your help, though, so that I could I could get on your schedule, if there's any way I can get on your schedule for 30 minutes next week, I just want to share this. And listen, this is very important, guys. Don't ever go over 30 minutes. If you can make it 25, that's great. When you value your boss's time, they understand that your time is valuable, and they respect that. It's that plain and simple. When you're ready, when you go in there, here's something, you know, say, hey, Paige, thanks for taking time to meet with me today. And as I shared with you when I set up this meeting, I wanted to talk about how I can make a greater contribution to the team. And one of the things that I noticed is that no matter how often that I do the accounting spreadsheet, it always seems to slow me down. It's just something that I'm catching myself having to redo the formulas. I catch myself after I do it on the calculator that I've made a mistake. I've done everything that I can. It's just not one of my strengths. It's a weakness. But what I really want to do is figure out how to spend less time on it and more time managing around it somehow so that I can benefit the team more. And here's what I found. And you share something that will work there, and you describe it distinctly. It's that plain and simple. You do this. Guys, it's not going to come easy. It's going to be little by little, but it's going to work. Now, if you're on the call right now, if you're listening to the show, and you're a manager, you're a leader, you're an independent contractor for a company, you're in direct selling, I don't care what it is, there's some things that you can do. If you're going to be a strength-based leader, you might go buy that website. Here's what you want to do. Or here's what you need to know, really. First, your chief role is to listen to what your employee is saying and affirm that you heard them right and offer ideas for actions that can be taken. Always action-based. You've heard Jim and I say this over and over. Listen. Make sure that you heard it correctly. You might have to repeat it back to them, and then give them action steps to take. So you're not, your role is not to confirm or deny what the employee is said. It's not up to you to decide, okay, yeah, you're right or yeah, you're wrong. What you're to do is help guide them in where they're going. It's what all mentors, all leaders do. They guide. They move people towards. The second thing is, what if you can't let the employee stop doing a particular activity? What happens then? Here's the kicker. If you really can't approve an employee's request to stop doing something because it's just the way it has to go, then you might have to say, look, I need you to do this right now. However, let's keep in mind that if the activity is something that weakens you, then we're going to find somebody that's going to replace you. There are some things, especially if you're manufacturing or something like that, you may not get them out of there right then, or even in the accounting department as the example I used. But when you know what their strengths are and you know what their weaknesses is, it's always in your best interest, your boss's best interest, the company's best interest, stockholders, board members, doesn't matter, to get the people in the right positions. You know, I'm going to use Vima again. And matter of fact, I was in a conversation yesterday with Vima's legal counsel because I'm doing a couple things, and I wanted to get a specific with her on something. And I said, and I'll tell you what it is, because this is humor. She had sent me back a document that I needed to sign, and in that document it said, Troy, anything that you might mention, anytime you might mention Vima, you know, we want to own those works. If you're doing a video or you're doing something like that, and I wrote her back in an email. I said, I can't do that. I use BK and Vima so much as analogies, or as examples rather, because of what I found. There's no way I'm giving you rights to that. And she laughed and said, you know, that's my legal, we'll fix it. But I'm using that as an example because here's a gal. This is her strength. Her strength, and this is why BK hired her, is to look over every agreement that comes into that office. Look over everything that is there. To look at people that might be talking about the company and make sure that there's not going to be disparaging comments. Make sure that the company brand is protected. Make sure. She's so tedious at that. I mean, this is some good stuff. Not everybody could do this. You know, you take a Jim Gilhouse. And you make him the chief legal counsel. He's going to look at the paper And he's going to write back and say, we're not using yours, we're going to use ours. And the contractor's going to go, well, no, I don't want to do that. And Jim, being the kind of guy he is, because he just doesn't pussyfoot around, is going to say, you know what, then we're not doing business. It's our way or the highway. Get out of here. Now, he's not quite that bad. But it's funny because I'm listening and watching her as she writes back and forth with me, and I'm thinking, dadgum, you know, we'll be here 90 days before we get this deal settled. You got to play to people's strengths. It's that plain and simple. I use Bemis PR director. Lynn is an amazing gal. Lynn doesn't have what I would call a time clock. If something's going to hit the airwaves, it could be 9 o'clock at night, and she's shooting me an email saying, Troy, we're going to pop this tomorrow. I want to give it to you now in case you've got something coming out where you can report on it. This is a company who's, they protect their brand, they're brand-oriented, they're focused, they make sure BK and his sisters have put people in place where their strengths are. As a manager, that's what your goal is to do. You want to make sure that everybody on your team, listen, don't just sit here, and this is so important, guys. I understand that in some different niches out there, that everybody wants to use the word duplication. And I'm a firm believer in the assembly line. I'm a firm believer in getting processes down that work. But you also have to understand, when you're leading voluntary organizations, and here's what I mean by that. Anytime you've got somebody that's on a 1099 for you, they're a volunteer. They get to decide if they want to work or not. So if you're working with somebody, you're mentoring them, you're getting them up to date, you're putting them through the company training, you're focusing with them, and you say to them, okay, now it's time for you to get on the phone with Jim Gilhouse, and we're going to do live dial calling, and it's dead silence on the other end of the line. That's a good indicator, if you're a strengths-based manager, that it's time for you to say, okay, you got silent for a second. That sounds like it might possibly be a weakness for you. Let's talk about some of your past experiences doing live dials. Talking to them. That is so dadgum important, and here's why. We are in the 21st century. There are dials are going to freak people out. They don't want to do what we used to call cold calling. They have no problem talking to people, but they want those people to initiate the conversation. When you come across somebody like this, this is where you say, you know what? I see exactly what you're saying, and we actually have a plan B for you. Now, I want you to know right up front, it's going to cost you a little bit more money. We've contracted with a company over here called XYZ Online Lead Generation Company, whatever it is, and you can get your leads, you can put them into a system, you can have an auto dialer call them, and then you can only talk to people that are interested. Would that work better? Oh, yeah. That's worth the investment to me, whatever the case is. Work to your people's strengths. Don't make a bunch of robots. This isn't a Will Smith iRobot movie. This is about individualizing your team, building leaders. If you want the true word of duplication, it's building leaders 100% of the time. Folks, I love these shows. I'm going to be back here Monday morning. But listen, again, Julie Bo is tonight, the Annie Oakley of MLM. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss Aces Radio Live. She's a phenomenal friend of mine. I've loved meeting with her, talking with her. Jim loves her. That's why we're having her on this show. And we're going to talk about her rise in MLM and some of the strengths and the weaknesses that she's seen as a female leader. And let me tell you, sometimes women see things a whole lot different than men do. Guys, have an awesome weekend. Live life like it's an epic adventure. And I'll see you back here Monday morning on Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.